Instant illumination. Beautiful instant illumination. We have the opportunity of living in the awareness of instant illumination if we would like to do so. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. And our topic today, the past is as much a work of imagination as is the future. The past is as much a work of imagination as is the future. Now, that might seem kind of strange, but you're all liars when it comes to telling what happened in the past. And you're all liars when telling what's going to happen in the future. Because you're thinking what's going to happen in the future is based upon what you're doing today. And you have no idea that what you're really going to do in the future is going to be quite something different. Today, you're living at the monastery, and you're having a wonderful time, and things are just as smooth as can be. And tomorrow, you get a telegram from your Uncle Joe, and he's down in Africa, in Johannesburg, Africa, and he wants you to come down there to give him a hand for a few days because he's feeling poorly. And you say, may you do that? Certainly. So you take off and go and visit your Uncle Joe in South Africa. You had no idea you were going to do that. So you go down there, and you work with your Uncle Joe, and you help him, and everything goes along just fine. And then all of a sudden he dies. And you say, okay, so you bury the old boy, and then you come home. Well, the lawyer calls you and says, hey, Uncle Joe left everything to you because you were the only relative that bothered to come down and look after him. So all of his estate is yours. He has 13 dogs. He has 42 cats. He has lizards. He has rattlesnakes and boa constrictors. He has eight children. Eight children that you never knew about. And you're supposed to be sort of like the grandma to them, you know. And he has $180 million. And it all goes to you. So you can do anything you want. So he says, oh, so be it. I don't mind. So Sylvia has this $180 million. And Sylvia says, well, I've always wanted to have a little money. So I'm going to go to Ecuador. And I'm going to go and help the poor in Ecuador. And I'm going to help them to be poor, you know, by taking away their right or their privilege to learn how to take care of themselves. And then she goes here and there, and she's spending the money just having a great old time. And everything's going along just fine. Then she comes to a point, and she says, whoops, there's nothing left. The African market went down, and my money, which was $140 million, is now $20,000. And she says, wow, now what do I do? And she says, okay, I'll go back to campus and be a monk. So she takes her $20,000 and buys herself an airplane ticket and comes back to campus. And when she gets to campus, she's destitute. She has nothing. And she just has the 14 suitcases filled with clothing that she's bought everywhere. And so forth and so on. So she sits down at her typewriter again. She says, feels good to be back at my typewriter, at my computer. And so she is sitting there. Now, you see, she has already created her future. She says, my future is back here on campus. Well, so the next thing you know, her Aunt Frances calls and says, will you come visit me? You know, I'm having some problems. And she says, sure. So she goes to visit her Aunt Frances. And her Aunt Frances says, you know, I have a son, doesn't he? Yeah. And I have a daughter, no? Just a son. And I haven't got anybody else in the world. Two daughters, two sons? Three sons. And I got three sons, and none of the three sons bothered to come and look after me when I'm sick, but you did. And so she says, now, I appreciate you coming. I really appreciate it. And here's a little token for you, you know, a couple $1,000s to say thank you for being here. And so then, she dies. And you bury her, and you come back to campus with your $3,000, you know, and each time it gets different. And then you get a telegram from her lawyer that she left everything to you, not to anybody else in the family. Everything. Everything to Sylvia. And she had $60 million, you know. But she lived very frugally, very... And you thought, my God, I never knew she had a penny, you know. I always thought that she was, you know, close to the edge. And so then you say, I keep coming back to campus. I guess that's where I really belong, where I really want to be. And so you say, well, I think I'll just take that money and put it into the campus here, and we'll have a nice operation here. We get all the books published, and then all of us can start going out and giving seminars around the world, around the country. And next thing you know, Sylvia finds that she can be a public speaker on television. And so she has a television show twice a week, and she goes into San Diego and puts on this hour-long television show with the musical and all the healing stuff and everything. And they want to syndicate it. They want to put it on all the major networks, you know. And so next thing you know, here she is spread across all the major networks of the world. And her family back in Switzerland, they look at it and they say, didn't you know she had it in her? No surprise. I thought she was a very shy little girl. And so then they tell their friends and everybody else. And before you know it, here she is popping around the world, making personal appearances in all these places, speaking about the University of Healing, speaking about I am God, God I am, and just having a ball. And because she's invested all that money in the university, we take Ingeborg and we dump her. We say, Ingeborg, out, out, out. And you go out and you start speaking now. You go speak to these different groups of people, especially in Africa or wherever, you know, and you start giving lectures to them and you start showing them the techniques of healing. And she says, well, all right. So she goes out. And all of a sudden, she's an instant success, too. And people just love her and eat her to pieces, you know. Say how wonderful you are, you know. Herb and Ellen don't have to come back here anymore. You can do it all. And so she just does a wonderful job. Now, the past is as much a work of imagination as is the future. Now, you talk about the past and you say, my two sisters were twins and they pushed me around in the baby carriage when I had a broken leg, you know. And I don't know this. They told me this. They may never have done it. They may have dumped me off into the ditch, you know, and just left me there and picked me up later when they were coming back from play, you know. Who knows what they did? Who knows? They may have taken me over to Mrs. What was her name? Colonel Ring, Mrs. Ring's house. Maybe that's how I got to be in Mrs. Ring's house. And Mrs. Ring was very ill, and I was always visiting her, and she'd give me brown sugar, you know. And they probably did those things, because, you know, they wanted to get me off their hands so they could go play. But when the truth is known, it's probably quite different. Probably quite different. And May was on her deathbed, and she was saying, be careful, I'm going to punch you right in the face, like I did when you were a kid. She never did. She never did. She was an angel. And but she liked to play the toughy part. She liked to play, I ride on the horses, I ride on the burros, I do all these things. The truth be known, she only rode on it once or twice. She got kicked off each time, you know. She got the message, but it made it fun. And when she tells the past is filled with all sorts of adventures that you never would realize were so. But she's a wonderful lady, you know. And Kip, he tells about his past. And he's May's husband, and he told about living in Waukesha and this community living group of their church, and he makes it sound like they were abandoned, and he makes it sound like they were overwhelmed with love, you know, whatever his feeling happens to be at the moment he tells the story. If he tells a story when he's not feeling chipper, he says, oh, woe is me. When he tells a story when he's chipper, he says, wow, we had a great life, you know? And how do we create? We create our own imagination of the past and the future. And if you were to hear some people say of their past that they were paupers, you know, Their father says, my God, we're down to our last $27 million, you know, what are we going to do, you know? And you think to yourself, $27 million, that's not, that's not too bad. But of course, when you come down from a billion, that's a lot. That's a lot. And you see, you're thinking of money as an object, not as an experience that you can have. But people create their own imagination. The past is as much a work of imagination as is the future. Remember that. So now when you think of the past, remember the best things of the past, because that's all you remember anyhow. And if your aunts and uncles and cousins and other ne'er-do-wells want to tell you that there were problems in the past, like I have a cousin, and he's a big strapping guy. He's a football player and a basketball player and everything, and he's the son of my father's brother, who was partner with my father in his business. Well, they always tell the story about him, and he's a big, strong guy and everything. One day he came home and from school, and nobody's home, and he walked in the front door, and then he went to the back of the house, and then he heard a noise at the front of the house. And he thought a burglar was breaking into the house. Who would break into their house? It's just a normal, ordinary house, nothing special. You can't imagine. But he was afraid of a burglar. So he went out the back door. But he didn't open the screen. He walked right through the screen. And so they tell that story to this day, that he walked through the screen door, you know. And it might not have been quite as dramatic as they make it sound. But it sounds like you could just see the outline of him going through the screen. He probably knocked down the door with his big old bulk, you know, and went out the back door. And then, I don't know who's in there, who's coming in the front door, but I'm not going to be there, you know. And so the story grows and undergrows and overgrows depending upon who's telling it, and whether they're trying to get a laugh out of the crowd or whether they're just saying my son is a very alert person. He didn't want to be around when a burglar came in, you know. So, the past is as much a work of imagination as is the future. So, now, for us today, if the past is as much a work of imagination as is the future, and the past is past, it's already been done, and we still like to play with it and model it and do neat things with it, why not do it to the future? What are you going to be when you grow up? Huh? Mm-hmm. What are you going to be when you grow up? And I'm going to be a fireman, a chief. I'm going to be an astronaut. Maybe they will. I mean, because some people are. But probably by the time they grow up, they'll have gone through 100 other imaginations of what they want to be. A doctor, a dentist, you know, a father, a mother, or whatever, you know. And you never know. You never know. Because people have all sorts of different ideas of what pleases them. Little children, girls especially, oh, girls have this problem, something good. Girls all want to be a teacher. They all want to be a teacher. Oh, sure, they want to be a mother, but I'm talking about a profession. A mother's a profession, too. But they want to be a teacher. And they want to be a teacher because they can teach their brothers and sisters what they want to teach them. And they teach them nothing important, but they teach them maybe how to tie their shoes, maybe how to read the time on a watch, maybe how to do some simple thing. But they, oh, I am such a good teacher. I am such a good teacher. He learned, you know. And, of course, they may not know that four or five other people got in the act someplace too, but they want to be a teacher. And then as soon as they start going to school, and if they have good teachers, that continues. If they have poor teachers who don't know how to bring the class to order and maintain harmony in the class, they soon lose interest in being a teacher, not realizing that it's the individual teacher that makes the difference. But you see, this is what our imagination can do. This is what our imagination can be. How many little girls have imagined themselves to be the teacher? How many little girls have imagined themselves to be the mommy? How many little girls have imagined themselves to be the lady who stands on the corner and directs traffic when the children come by, you know, at the schools? You know, these are big role models, goodness sakes, you know. And the teachers are 21, 24 years old. You know, they're old ladies already, you know. And they're going to be like that one day. But, you see, that's imagination. And we should take that imagination and create as beautiful as we want in our future. Yeah. Sylvia has just gone through many millions of dollars. And she has not been very happy about it. She's gone through the many millions of dollars, but it hasn't brought her happiness. The only thing that brought her happiness was when she started to spend it in a beneficial way. When she started to have her own television show. You know, she started to have her own activity where she was herself. You follow me? So, why not create that? Why not create that? You don't have to wait for someone to die. You don't have to wait for someone for the next step of your life. Just create yourself. Who knows who's going to come and go and leave these things to you? Who knows when you're going to do any of these things? Who knows? Be open.
I am.
I haven't seen it. Show me the money. No, but you am. That's good. Be open. And I threw these ideas out, and you said it sounded like a circus. But that's what life is. It's a circus. It's a circus. And you might as well be front row center, or the clown, or the prima ballerina up on the high wire, you know. Who knows what you want to be. But just be it, and have fun, and be yourself. Because that's what life's all about. And life is wonderful. So, have a wonderful day. Do great things. And know that you are fabulous, fabulous, fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank you. What was that message saying?